5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. I apologize to all of you for not having a Friday podcast last week. I have to say, Friday was the first day of this quarantine that my kids were really struggling. They've been so incredible this whole time, but they're young. This is really weird, and it felt like Friday it all kind of caught up to me at once. So, you know, we took a little extra time hanging out with them. It was rainy and cold, the sky was gray all day, and all three of them just looked miserable, so they needed a little extra attention. So I skipped the podcast, I bailed on a few meetings I was supposed to have, including a podcast interview with Avery Dovsik from PGA Tour Radio. We rescheduled, it's all going to be good, we're going to do it this Friday instead, and I'm really looking forward to it, but you know, you just had to make a different choice on Friday. Avery is a really cool story, I'm excited to interview her. She's in college currently, a D1, Division I golfer on the women's team at Hofstra. She's also done some very high-profile internships with the Golf Channel and PGA Tour Radio. And during the pandemic, rather than sit around blaming the world for her season coming to an end and her internship with PGA Tour Radio being on hold, she started a podcast. And I love this kind of attitude, so I want to highlight this. She's also a student athlete, so I think there's a lot of things we can learn from her experience of time management and how she's still getting top internships. So I think it's nice, as we've talked about before, to do some podcasts that are with high-level executives and others that are with people just getting started and some that are with mid-level managers and a little bit of everything, so you get a flavor for, I don't know, who else is out there and where people are in their career and what the journey looks like. Avery reminds me a lot of some of our previous guests, like Carlton Roby, Desmond Evans, and Jake Kernan. They're driven, they're focused, they're willing. Those are really great attributes when you're trying to get into this business. Anyway, Avery's interview will be live in 2 weeks. We're going to conduct it on Friday, and then it will air not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, because this Wednesday is Ari Kaplan, who is one of the pioneers of baseball analytics. So excited to have him on the show. I interviewed him last week. And I don't say that lightly, that word pioneer. He is really a pioneer in baseball analytics. When you think of Moneyball and some of the names that are associated with analytics, he was in the midst of that. He is part of that first generation of sabermetrics and really understanding data science. He's worked and consulted for every major league team. He has some super cool stories that just like knocked me on my butt. Great career advice, insight into what's happening now in the world of data science and analytics. Super cool. Very excited to talk with him and have him on the show. That'll be Wednesday. I know many of you in our audience will get pretty geeked up about that one. I know I did. You know, as I think about that interview, Ari, one of his greatest attributes, I believe, is that he speaks on these intricate subjects in such a deliberate manner. He makes it easy to understand complex information. And I think that's a really important part when we think about analytics. You can think about people, you know, I mean, the vision when you think about analytics of people geeking out in a room with spreadsheets and data and numbers and graphs and all this cool stuff. But if you can't translate that information to the right audience, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make the impact it needs to. If you can't talk to a manager or a general manager and influence their decision making by making it seem understandable, it doesn't go anywhere. And that's one of Ari's great attributes. And we'll talk about that a lot on Wednesday as well. So again, this whole tangent of me talking about who's coming up next and all that started with me explaining why I missed the podcast on Friday. And it's to make this point. We all make choices every day. Don't forget to make choices for yourself or those who rely on you most. Sometimes you need to be you the person more than you the worker. And that's the choice that I made on Friday. So I hope you all let me off the hook for that one. Okay, let's move along. Question today came in from Johnny in Los Angeles. Johnny writes, "Hey, Brian, I feel like you are my trusted advisor, even though you don't know me personally. I listen intently to what you share, and since your advice has so often been proven true in my life, I trust you implicitly." Wow, Johnny. Pretty cool. Thank you. My question, the advice you hear all around the internet is that during this time, you should be doing more informational interviews with people in the industry. While this advice seems legit, I ask you how? Like, how do you set them up? What do you ask? What are the goals? And how should I set this up for success? I'm not quite sure I understand why they are valuable. Johnny, your question basically wrote my outline for me. So thank you. How do you do it? Why do you do it? What questions do you ask? And what does success look like? Like, that's seriously my outline right there. Boom. We're done. Thanks. Okay, so let's talk about informational interviews. Right now, for most of you, the sports world seems like an incredibly large space. It's daunting. It's huge. It's like tons of people, different jobs, lots of teams, leagues, organizations that support the industry and its athletes. But here's the deal. Those of us that have been in the industry for a long time feel like it's a really small world, that everyone is interconnected, and the overlap in roles and responsibilities is pretty present. We've shrunken this daunting world by getting to know the people. I tell this all the time. I worked with 250 other people at CNN Sports Illustrated when I first got started. And then when these people ventured out into other roles, you know, I had connections at NBC Sports and ESPN and Big Ten Network and Pac-12 Network and Fox Sports. And all of it started to, it just felt like, you know, you knew everybody in the sports industry. You likely don't have that feeling right now, which is why the industry feels huge to you. Informational interviews and networking, relationship building is how you start making the sports world seem a little smaller and more connected. Plus, the really extra great benefit is that you learn from someone in the industry. Informational interviews are the absolute best way to learn the specifics of a role from someone actively doing it. If you think of it, and I'll get into this in a little more detail in a second, but my interviews on Wednesdays are almost like me conducting an informational interview for you. I'm finding out the intricacies of their roles, asking them questions about their day-to-day, what they studied, how they got there, what advice they have. I've done the research and asked the questions for you. So really, Wednesday's episodes over the last 3 years, almost 3 years, are a model for you how these should work. It tells you, like, all right, here's a flow to questions, and here's how I can ask things, and here's how to do the research into them. And, you know, it's a great launching point for what this conversation can be. That is why you do informational interviews. You build connections and you learn. So I believe informational interviews are an underutilized tool for advancing your sports career, building your network, and clearing up some of the career confusion running rampant in your mind. You know, if you want to work in marketing, that's a huge subject. Well, how do you know what that day-to-day is like unless you talk to somebody who's working in marketing right now? So that's where informational interviews can really be powerful. So now that you understand the why, like why we're doing this, well, let's get into the how. So first things first, don't start calling anybody yet. You're not ready, okay? Before you reach out to anyone, there's a special task you have to do. You have to check your social media presence. So whenever I get reached out to a lot for informational interviews, and whenever someone reaches out to me for a short call, and they explain to me why, or sometimes they don't do a very good job of that, I immediately check their Twitter and LinkedIn before I respond. I'm going to see if this person is worth my time. Really, I'm being completely serious. Is this someone I want to invest 20 to 40 minutes of my time with? Does this person present themselves in a favorable light? Is their Twitter profile a picture of them partying with some of their buddies or on the beach shirtless? I mean, can I see from their LinkedIn that they take themselves seriously? Like, I'm going to actually vet you before I decide to jump on a call with you. And I'm also just like thinking about how you made your outreach, like how you tried to communicate with me. If it seems like it was just kind of haphazard and check the box, or if it didn't seem like it had a lot of foresight or gave me a reason why it should happen, I'm probably not going to take it seriously either. So before you start calling people or emailing people or connecting with them on LinkedIn on asking for an informational interview, you have to put some thought into your strategy and the way you present yourself. So go check your social media profiles first. For you to have a even moderately successful response rate in conducting informational interviews, you really have to position yourself accordingly. Once your social media presence looks clean and professional, you can begin the process of reaching out to people. Your initial correspondence should be brief and to the point. I cannot stress this enough. Brief and to the point. I don't need to read 500 words about your background, your love of sports, why you want to work in sports. I'm never going to even read that. Okay, I'm not going to get through it. Be short and to the point. The informational interview is not about you. It's about the person you are reaching out to. Keep your email between 2 to 3 sentences max. Give me your name, your school, your internship or job, and one, why you chose to reach out to me, right? So the last point's really important. Ego plays a big part in getting a response. Like, I want to know why you want to speak to me. If you explain why speaking to me is important, and I'm doing this as me, but like this applies for anybody. If I'm the director of marketing for the Boston Celtics and you reach out to me, I want to know why it was important that you were reaching out to me. So give me something. You know, I'm a college junior. I'm studying marketing. My dream is to work for an NBA team. I've listened to you on podcasts before. I've heard you in quoted in this newspaper or whatever it may be. And I'd love to take a little bit of time to learn more about your role and your challenges you face or whatever. You know, give me something there. Okay. So give me a reason why. Tell me a little bit about you. Give me a reason why. If you're reaching out to someone who works for a team or league, be mindful of season, right? Like if you're contacting somebody during the height of the baseball season and they work for a baseball team, you're probably not going to hear back from them, right? If you talk from the month after the season ends, they're probably on vacation. So just think about the rhythm of the year a little bit, right? Don't NBA, you know when things are really active, when they're not as active. If you try to talk to a scout a week before the NFL draft, well, duh, you're not going to get a response. So just be intentional about when you reach out to people. Once you've sent off your emails to some people, wait and wait. Like, you cannot expect fast responses. It just doesn't necessarily happen in this world. You don't always get a quick response. It might happen, take a little bit of time. That's okay. You're looking for a response rate of like 1 in 3 emails. Like if you get a 33% response rate, that's pretty darn good. You're doing really well. So if 3 out of 10, you get a response, that means 7 times somebody isn't going to respond to you. Don't take it personally. Think of it like baseball. If you had a 333 batting average, you're doing pretty good. Okay. So somebody says yes. Oh yeah, sure. I'd love to. I jump on a call and like, now's a perfect time. I'm not as busy with the pandemic. Everything's slowed down a little bit. Great, 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 great. Okay. Well, now what, right? What types of questions are you going to ask them? What should you talk about? How much will you speak? I mean, these are the things you need to be thinking of. So the first step is research. Research the person on LinkedIn and Twitter, understand their tone. You know, like, are they a serious person? Are they a witty person? Are they detail oriented? Look at what I'm talking about, this is the research that I do for every podcast interview. Because again, I'm telling you, this is a glorified informational interview. Look at their biography on their company page. Learn their history. Where have they worked? What are the parameters of their current role? Do you have common ground that could act as an icebreaker? These are the kind of things you want to be thinking about. Prepare a list, you know, 5 to 10 questions you want to talk about. Even with the prepared questions, you want to try to make it as fluid as possible. Like I literally provide a rough outline to each one of my guests. I give them 8 to 10 of my questions in a flow because they're not always used to doing podcast interviews. They're not always used to being interviewed. I want them to feel comfortable and prepared for what's coming, but I don't stick to it exactly. Like that gives them an idea of where we're headed. It gives them some level of comfort, but I have to be able to flow in the conversation. I have to be able to feed off of their answers. So you have to be a really active listener in the process too. You come up with your questions, but they can't be rigid. You can't be thinking about what you're going to ask and ask next rather than just focusing on the feeling you're getting in the conversation and where it makes sense to go next. Even when I have this rough outline, I move it around. I jump from like question 2 to question 8 because something seems relevant in that moment, or I come up with something completely different on the fly. I'm taking notes as I go. Like I'm really flying into this. So let's give a rough idea of some questions you might want to ask. So you can ask things like, well, why did you decide to work in sports? Are there any specific conferences that you suggest I attend? What skill do you use the most in your day-to-day or your job? What do you look for when you're hiring people? Is there a specific skill they need to have? What motivated you to attend grad school if they went to grad school? What's the most challenging part of their day-to-day job? What's their favorite part of the job? What's the biggest struggle for them on the role? Now, the other thing, too, is that I publish all of my questions in the show notes of every podcast interview. So if you go to workinsports.com/blog, find an episode that relates to your upcoming informational interview. Use some of my ideas. Totally fine. I mean, I've done, I don't know, 125, I think, interviews at this point, something of that nature. And every time I come up with unique questions, I don't copy and paste anything. It's different every single time. So you have 125 times 10 questions for each one. I mean, 1,200 questions to pull from. Like you could go through and really pull any of the directions that I've headed in this and it will help you get a start. But the general rule is the more research you conduct about a person, the better the conversation will go. I spend hours researching my interview subjects, their lives, articles written on them, places they've been quoted, so that I can formulate intelligent questions. You need to do the same. You really need to do the same. Also, you notice during the Monday podcast, Tay, I talk and talk and talk. During the Wednesday podcast, I ask a question and then I shut up and listen. I speak less than 20% of the time, and that is the rhythm you want for your informational interviews. You don't want to be dominating the conversation. You want to ask questions and let them go and listen. The key thing to remember when you formulate questions is, what do you really want to know? I spoke with someone who was going to do an informational interview with Adam Schefter once. This was a couple years back, 5 years ago, let's say. And they asked me if I could review their questions beforehand. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take a look. And they had questions in there about pending free agency. Like, do you think player X will sign with team Y? And I was mad. I was like, wait, how does the answer help you? Like, if he says, yeah, I think they're going to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs, like, does that help you in your career? Does that do anything to get you closer to your career goals? Why don't you ask him questions about how he develops league sources, how he gets information, how he became a great writer, what skills that he had to develop to get noticed, how he promotes himself, how he built his personal brand. Like, this is rattling off the top of my head. I could come up with 10 better questions than, who do you think is going to sign in free agency? Like, just because that's what Adam Schefter does doesn't mean it benefits you to get insight into that. You need to be thinking about your long-term career. Ask questions that lead to answers that help you. Don't ask salacious or superficial things. Questions need to have meat on the bone. I swear to you, after every podcast interview, my guests tell me how much they enjoyed the questions. And that is like my greatest honor. Forget awards, forget download numbers. When the guests say, I really liked your questions, that matters because that shows I put in the work. And you know what? They respected me and the experience afterwards. That's what you want out of this. You want to build another person in your corner that's saying, you know what, that person, they got it. They really asked me some good questions, and I think they really get this industry. That's the impression you want to get because you're building a relationship here, and you're starting to make a brand for yourself in the way you handle your conversational skills and your asking questions and your curiosity. Go for that. You can learn really good things and kind of build your reputation in the industry. Win-win, okay? Are we done here? Like, is this it? Is that all we're going to talk? Is that all that happens in an informational interview? Well, no. Conversation may be over. You thank the person, you go on your way, you pay for the coffee, whatever it is, and that's it, right? No. Following up with an email 3 to 4 hours after your call, thanking them once again, is an absolute must. Sending a handwritten thank you note to the person goes even one step further and is even better. But even after you've done all this, okay, remember your relationship building routine. You have to be present in their world. You have to share what they're tweeting. You have to comment on things where appropriate, to like and share their posts on LinkedIn. Wherever they're the most active, you need to be active too. You need to be visible. You need to make intelligent comments when they share an article and they say, oh, I just read this and was really impressed. You need to comment in there and have some, take some nugget out of there and say like, wow, that really was impactful when they talked about this, that, and the other thing. Right? Have a voice in there, because the closer you keep in contact with them, the better your chances are that they'll tell you or recommend you or let you know if they hear any kind of a job opening in the future. Touching base is essential after you've started this process. Don't look at them as somebody you had an informational interview with. Look at them as somebody that's part of your network now. And you have to work on building that relationship throughout the rest of time. Now, people will tire of you. I need to emphasize this here too. People will tire of you quickly if you're always just asking for things. If you're saying, hey, have you heard about any jobs lately? Or, hey, what do you have for me? Or, hey, can you do this for me? Or, hey, can you do that for me? That's going to get all tiresome quickly. Bring value to the equation. If you see an article that talks about their team, send it to them and say congratulations. If you see something that's interesting that could elevate their understanding of a concept that you maybe talked about during your conversation, like if they talked about, advertising in the digital age, and then you see an article later on from Adweek on advertising in the digital age, maybe share it with them and say, hey, based on our conversation, I know this interests you and I thought it was a really great article. Boom, send it out to them. That's how you stay as a thought leader in their mind, as somebody who's really understanding this industry and what's happening out there. So What do you want from this? How do you do this during the pandemic times? Well, I honestly think right now you should set a goal for yourself to reach out to 3 to 4 individuals, let's say 5. So I think you should set a goal to yourself to reach out to 5 people a week and expect one of those to turn into an actual informational interview. So you're doing one informational interview a week. You're doing research and you're doing informational interviews one a week. I think that is totally legitimate. Okay. So have that kind of a focus and you start to build your network over this really strange time. And I think that's something you'll come to really appreciate as you look back on your career. Okay, Johnny, I hope that breaks it down for you. Informational interviews can be a secret weapon during this time, so use them wisely. Tune in on Wednesday to hear from Ari Kaplan, baseball analytics pioneer. I'm telling you, it's a great interview, and please rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. It really helps us gain new listeners, which is important to the growth of this show. I appreciate all of you. Stay safe out there.